I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Good morning, handsome. I like sherbet on you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Look, something for the summer.
Listen,
okay.
We put our pastels.
Yes,
today.
We are. You always represent so well. Okay.
Thank you, baby.
They're lucky to have you.
I love my AKA.
That's
right. I love it. How was your weekend, baby?
My weekend was great.
Good.
Spent some time with my sister. She's in town.
Good. Is this the one that graduated?
Yes.
Great.
So hopefully next week we can align something before she leaves
just
and
celebrate.
Go grab a drink or something.
Yeah.
I want you guys to hang out. But
I would love to meet.
So did that. Spent some time with friends. Had a good weekend. How was yours, E?
You look good. It was really good. So me and Miss Natalie, we took in one of the films
Tribeca.
Hey, Natalie. We took in one of the films at Tribeca's Film Festival.
Okay, wonderful.
We saw the world premiere of the Milli Vanilli documentary.
Now, okay, is this a documentary that we're going to love?
Baby. They go there.
Okay, good.
It has full participation with the only living member of Milli Vanilli.
Mm-hmm.
It is phenomenal. There's a really, to me, it was a great surprise at the end. I will, of course, not spoil it.
Okay.
Beautifully done, told with humanity, told with tenderness, told with accountability, and everybody's favorite, Clive Davis, looks a fucking mess in the film.
Get out of here. Well, it sounds like must-see TV. When does that come out, Ebony?
I'm supposed to say, it's been acquired by Paramount Plus.
Wonderful.
So it's going to come out. And I will say this, because we all know the main, you know, story with those gentlemen. For those of us of a particular age, let me
right.
say it like
mm-hmm.
that.
This one is Blame good to be
it
old.
Because
we remember it, okay?
So everybody really, when the chips fell down, everything fell on the two guys, Rob and Fab.
Rob and Fab, that's right.
Yep. And one of the things I commented, you know, Auntie, he gonna comment at the end of the screening. Because, you know, filmmakers and stuff are there. I said, you know, when everything came out about Milli Vanilli finally, and everybody was horrified and aghast. I mean, this was the worst thing that had happened in American history since the Civil War, right? You know, that was the vibes. They had just deceived the American people in the world and all their fans. And of course, you know, they were very much complicit in the cover-up. And the film goes into that, Dustin. But I said, but let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. The real problem with these two being a part of this deceit is they were two black men in on the take.
Yep.
That's the issue.
Yep.
Because the mastermind, of course, of this was white European guy. Clive Davis, totally complicit.
Yep.
Everybody in the industry is, and I guess I forgot that because we were so young.
Yep.
I didn't realize way before they won the Grammy and had to give the Grammy back, I didn't realize it was at that point an open secret in the industry. But it was. Like,
yeah.
I was sitting there, was like, oh my God, they weren't singing? You know, like.
So people knew, we just didn't
know.
The GP didn't know.
The GP didn't know, but everybody knew. And if everybody knew what we now know as grown people in this industry, Dustin, that meant a whole lot of palms had to be greased.
Oh, several. For people to keep a secret? Are you kidding me?
Listen.
Yeah.
So it's, again, when it all comes out in the wash, the only two left demonized are the two black men. What kind of shit is that? Except it's the shit we already know.
Yep.
And I just named it.
You called that, Ebony.
Yeah, I said, you know, y'all not, that vitriol was not just about the deceit.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were literally, at that point, hundreds of people that were woven into the fabric of the deceit. What was different here is that these two black Negroes were in on the take and made fools of you.
Yep.
And that was the problem.
Yep.
So make sure y'all check that out.
Definitely whet my appetite for it. I can't wait.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fab. You know what? You already know my corny ass was going to go there. All right. Well, speaking of music, you know, we got a really nice docket today. The first, you know, I hate that we have to cover this story because I hate that this is a story, but this is where we are. And I can't say I didn't see it coming because, you know, I was at that Prudential Center show in New Jersey, in Newark. So first thing on the docket, we're going to get into the Anita Baker and Babyface of it all. I'm going to just sit that there.
Right there.
Then I really am excited to actually talk about with the Supreme Court. I can't believe I'm saying excited and Supreme Court in the same damn sentence.
I can't, in 2023.
With this particular court, right. But I am. So I want to go into what the Supreme Court has done just recently here to actually protect, I can't believe it, but they have actually saved the voting rights of millions of Black Americans in the South and will probably matriculate to the rest of the country. So I want to break down what they did, Dustin, but I also want to spend some time talking about who did what.
Yeah.
When we see these decisions, okay, Supreme Court affirmed, Supreme Court struck down, that's the big takeaway, and we need to definitely you know, hold the space for the gravity of the decision, but the real tea and what we as voters need to be paying attention to is who on the court did what. How did they vote?
Yes.
Who wrote that majority opinion? And what does this tell us about what we can anticipate with these other upcoming decisions? I'm talking about affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about civil rights for gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And then last, those of you, y'all need to know that both Dustin and I pray for our traveling mercies today.
Traveling mercies, yes.
You know, we need some traveling mercy. Shout out to Dossie.
Yes.
Dossie gonna always give you some traveling mercies.
Shout out to Dossie, yes.
With his Virginia ass. But Dustin and I are both flying to Tulsa, Oklahoma today to participate in the celebration and the commemoration of Juneteenth.
Yes.
Shout out to Davon Johnson and his Black Media Org that are bringing us there to give words and participate in commentary. That said, speaking of travel, Marlon Wayans.
Mm-hmm.
He'd had a tough time with the travel.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say it that way. Dwayne and United Air are not in a good place.
First mistake, but go ahead.
Well, and I think he made another one with American, but that's a... Anyways.
I told you what my experience was like with American this last time.
And awful.
I had that terrible travel day.
And I want you to bring that back up when we get to this story.
There's that.
And that's a real thing. But then also I want to talk about with the Marlon Wayans one. I don't think Marlon is lying about anything. But I do know that as our profiles increase,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's so interesting. I don't know if you've noticed this, Dustin, but since I started in this mass media business to now, and I expect, God willing, it will ascend continuously, one of the first places I ever started being recognized was in the airport.
Yeah.
Did you experience that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about airports,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there's something about it.
And what's so odd about it is that people really... they should be paying attention to so many other things other than who's at the airport.
Well, I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't gonna lie. My may she rest in peace. Late Aunt Sherry used to work for. Let's see how old we are.
Northwest.
I remember Northwest. United Air.
United or no?
But it started like that, right? U.S. Airways.
U.S. Airways.
U.S. Airways.
U.S. Airways.
She used to work for U.S. Airways before they merged with American.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her favorite things to do was to talk about the celeb she was seeing. Baby, I saw Derek Curry today with his fine, not Steph.
Derek.
Dale, baby, the daddy, Dale Curry. And he is extremely fine still. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dale. I think they got divorced.
They did.
Yeah.
Didn't he get with the, it was another woman that I saw him with. It was an odd pairing.
I'm sure that's fizzled out by now.
Probably so.
I'm just
Look. Ring Dale's bell, okay?
That's it. Because he can ring my bell.
Hey, what's up?
Let me stop. But yeah, so Aunt Sherry was always, but normally really sweet stories. Like, oh my God, LL Cool J came up to the counter today, y'all, because she was at tickets.
Yes.
You know, you got tickets,
yes.
And then you got the people at the gate. Aunt Sherry was at the ticket counter.
At tickets, yeah. They're much nicer there.
They're much nicer there.
It's
I don't know what happens by the time
the
you get to that gate.
Yeah. Probably the motherfucker that came behind you.
That might be
them
what
off.
It is.
And, then, here we
and
go.
Now they salty. Okay, so let's start with salty Anita Baker. And this is very, this is just a sad thing to see in the culture. First of all, people are in the, I don't want to say, is it bad to say somebody's in their sunset years? but help me out.
Bad, no. It's not bad.
But
it's not bad.
What's
it's just direct.
To say it? Okay. Well, you know, I am very direct.
You could just say that, you know, she's been working for such a long time that now she's at a stage of life where you would think she's just taking
coasting.
It easy.
Yeah. So that's the framing. Okay, thank you. I knew my co-host would help me out with that one, y'all, because I'm ready to say sunrise, sunset.
Okay.
But listen, what I am saying is that at 65 years old, let's just say the number, Anita Baker, I have to know, like she is for me, she is for the greater Black culture. Iconic's not, it's an overused word. I mean, Anita Baker is the soundtrack to Saturday cleanings in pretty much every black household in America. Anita Baker, I mean, I've seen Anita Baker as an adult 5 times. Mm-hmm. You know, Anita Baker is on the, what's it, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, of soul singers number one.
Period. And such an jazz inspirational. Singers. Yeah, just a, and how many people can stand on a stage, Dustin, in this era, mm-hmm. and not bust a two-step or nothing mm-hmm. for 2 hours, and people still feel satiated yep. with that as a performance because your vocals and your catalog are that strong.
Yep.
And that's Anita Baker. I would for say sure. maybe Sade. Maybe, I mean, you know.
It's a very short list.
That's a one-hand list.
Mm-hmm.
So for this woman to have built the career and built the catalog and built the innate devotion mm-hmm. of fandom and respect from black culture over the course of her years. And now listen, let's be clear. I think we've all always heard little mumblings, right?
From day one.
Little Hun Luther got into mm-hmm. it. Hun, this person got. But it's like, you know, she's a diva queen. We give her that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this thing with Babyface is hitting differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, before I keep running my mouth, I want you to tell me if you agree with that and then tell me why. But first, let me just set up a couple facts here. So if you've been under a rock, Anita Baker has been on, I think it's her third farewell tour. and that's fine because she can keep farewelling. I had intended to keep buying.
And so many artists do that, right?
Absolutely.
Jay-Z's retired how many times? Child. Everybody does.
Jay-Z's also turned 50 how many times? But anyway, Anita Baker's on her third or fourth farewell tour, and this time she is accompanied by the Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, mm-hmm. As her opening act, which we'll get into the dynamics of Anita Baker and opening acts in a minute. But Babyface was her opening act. And they had a show recently, very recently, here in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey. I attended it.
Mm-hmm.
This is on her Songstress tour. And Babyface did not perform. And he was announced as a co-performer. Many people felt like they came to see Babyface as much as they did Anita Baker,
mm-hmm.
Which is was my friend Natalie's position. So she wanted her money back.
Mm-hmm.
Babyface did not perform. We actually watched them take Babyface drums and shit that said Babyface on it and roll them off the stage after we had been, no, this really happened, after we had been waiting patiently for an hour and a half. And then there was another 30-minute wait before Anita's equipment arrived on stage and she finally performed. And it was actually very dismal, but we'll keep that out of it today. You can go listen to a previous Holding Court where I talked about the crustiness of the vocals. Okay, so... Last mm-hmm. month, Babyface went on Instagram and he said that he would not be able to perform at Anita Baker's Prudential Center stop on her tour in order, this is the quote, y'all, in order to give Ms. Baker her space and time to perform her show in its entirety. And then, you know, people were speculating, as people mm-hmm. do, did Anita Baker stop it? So whatever, back and forth. Babyface goes on to say this. As advanced as technology is today, we are sometimes at its mercy. The video wall was unfortunately not working that day, and time wasn't on our side. I am incredibly sorry to the fans and have nothing but love and respect for you. So I'll tell you, Dustin, because I was there, as the audience, we knew something was up
mm-hmm.
because the doors opened, I want to say, around 6:30, something like that. And by the time they actually started letting us into the arena, the Prudential Center, sound check was still going on, and it was like 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So then we sat there. All I know is Anita Baker didn't hit the stage until about 10:30.
And you guys were just sitting all that time. Yeah.
No opening act, no comedian. I should have called you. You could have came out there.
I came out there and yeah. popped a few jokes.
Yep.
Damn. So so what did you do? Like, so do you think Anita did her full set?
Oh, I know she did her full set, but again. It was just, she was not in a good place. Let's just say that. She did her full set. It was not the best of Anita Baker. I'll say it that way, vocally.
Mm-hmm.
But it was what it was. And I think everybody was prepared to just say it was a shitty off night. Let's just move on from it. I think now what Anita Baker has done by removing, and she has, that's the story, right? Anita Baker has now totally removed Babyface from the tour in full capacity, in any capacity, I should say. And I think she's made a bad situation worse. So she announced that because... Babyface, his fan base has cyber bullied her, has verbally abused her, and even threatened violence against her, which I believe, and I think we've all seen some of the tweets, Anita Baker says that Kenny Babyface Edmonds will no longer be her supporting act. And this is the tweet. After silently enduring cyber bullying, verbal abuse, and threats of violence from the fan base of our special guest slash support act, in the interest of personal safety, I will continue the songstress tour alone. Appropriate refunds will be made. Blessings.
You know why I love you?
Why, baby?
Because you did not even make note of any of the punctuation in that tweet. And you read straight through it and applied pauses
right.
where it was necessary.
Well, I knew
necessary.
It was intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless you. Indicated.
And that is what people need to understand about your heart.
Thank
because
you.
If they see that tweet, the way it really looks, like the beginning of, I told them on another show that it looked like, her tweets looked like the beginning of that book, Push. by
exactly
Sapphire.
What you talking about?
You know how it's written at the beginning as
you
the young lady is learning to be more literate. Anita Baker has been showing her ass.
Yeah.
That's what she's been doing, and she's been doing it for a long time. That doesn't mean that we don't have a reverence for her. That doesn't mean that we don't love her music. That doesn't mean that she's not a bad-ass singer, okay?
Course.
One of the best to ever
do it.
Off nights and all.
Correct.
Okay? Off nights and all.
Everybody has them.
Star Spangled Banner performance and all.
Yeah.
You saw
that she just did. Recently?
It was... Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's, let's zoom out for 1 second, right? So this is now where I am perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
Anita Baker had nothing left to prove to nobody. And for all the reasons you just laid out, Dustin Ross, the receipts have been there for 40 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
Why now at the big age of 65 would you, A, go on tour and perform in these high profile events like, you know, sporting events and singing and stuff? When you know this is not the best of your vocal ability.
Right.
Because I know that she's gotten that feedback.
Right.
Like, I don't give a damn who you are. Someone has told you.
And she knows herself because she's a singer.
Because she's a
you
vocalist.
Know.
She's a vocalist. Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah, so the vocals are not hitting. And so why bother? And then the way you are acting and on social media with these crazy-ass tweets and these crazy-ass Instagrams. And, you know, you just got your music catalog back
right.
thanks to the help with
Chance the Rapper
and all of this. And you're getting your flowers. Like, let's just leave the legacy there.
Mm-hmm.
I am very just disappointed, Dustin, and kind of, like I said, perplexed and confused why some of my favorites. I'm taking it personal, so I'm spending some time. Because Anita Baker is one of my favorites.
I get it.
And I'm going to get to another one of my favorites that's just fucked up his legacy in my mind as well recently too, and you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'll name him in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all are not tenderonis. Y'all are long in the teeth. Y'all
yep.
are of a particular age. You are on the, let's just say this, the back end of cementing your forever legacy in this business and in this culture. Why now voluntarily elect mm-hmm. Dustin to show up in a posture that is so off-putting as to have people who have revered you, loved you, supported you, still want to celebrate you, just have to even feel away. Not that we won't still do that, but now I just feel away. Now I'm just looking at Anita Baker crazy.
Yeah, and it's sad, and it's disappointing as a fan.
Yeah.
I say this all the time when celebrities that I love their work,
yeah.
when they overshare parts of their personal life, and
yeah.
I'm now turned off, it pisses me the fuck off.
Right.
I hate that as a fan.
You could have
Anita
kept
Baker,
that.
You're too damn old to be doing all of this.
Absolutely.
Her children, people around her, need to take that phone out her damn hand. No matter how upset she gets,
yeah.
tell her, mama, meemaw, ma'am.
Momo.
Okay? Hand me the damn phone.
Yeah.
Stop arguing and talking to people who you really have literally no reason to talk to.
No.
She's calling his fans, Babyface's fans, Kenny's crazies.
That's ridiculous.
Going back and forth with people over details that literally they don't even understand the business
right.
of touring and performing.
Stop it.
Headlining. People are throwing so many uninformed opinions out
sure.
there about the business of this tour.
And she's engaging. Why are you
engaging?
You are Anita Baker. Like, stop it, ma'am.
We don't even say nothing to you about your hair.
Well, you
we
know,
let that go.
We let that go.
Because
that's
of
how
our
much
respect.
We love you. That's
yeah,
how much
our
we love,
love and
you.
Respect for you. But
I was
this...
willing to let go of those crusty ass vocals. Like, you know, let me just, like, literally when I went home, I just went on the Spotify
mm-hmm.
and just put on, you know, caught up in the rapture.
That's right.
And just went ahead about my business.
And just soaked that in.
Yeah, and I was like,
you know what it is. You know what it was.
We know how she can really give it up. And I just saw her right before the pandemic, right here at Radio City Music Hall, and she tore it up. So, whatever. But this reads as so distasteful, so lacking of class and professionalism.
There you go, right there.
You know, and
lacking of professionalism.
Very much so lacking of professionalism. And then you counter it with how Babyface is handling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Babyface is a perfect angel, but I will say the way he is coming off looking Dustin in this situation, he looks like the class act.
Which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I also think Anita Baker has grossly underestimated the currency of Babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of these, you know, little reminders that he's a supporting act and an opener. And
my thing
is,
this
is Babyface. This is the architect of an entire generation from Mary J. Blige, Brandy, Tony Braxton.
Mm-hmm.
He even wrote songs for your ass, Anita, which we'll get to that previous legal battle between you two.
And I think that for her, because she was kind of around when Babyface took off and became the music superstar that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that from her POV, he is
still emerging.
Yeah.
Well, ma'am, let me tell you. And you hitting a nerve and I'm about to holler because I feel that has happened even in my career, Dustin, and I know it's happened in yours, where people we
Let's
have met early on, you know, maybe we were a little greener in our gifts and our ability to navigate this industry. And now you want to act like yesterday's price is today's price, or you want to act like yesterday's skill set is today's skill set.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers
like
here. First of all, we have to remember that Anita Baker is a black elder. She's she's a black elder, and she's a woman.
She's a silver citizen.
And so Babyface is not it. I'll never forget when NeNe Leakes was on The Celebrity Apprentice, and she was talking about how nobody wanted to argue with Dionne Warwick because it just didn't look right. You know what I'm saying? With her being 70 years old at the time. And that applies here too.
Yeah.
How in the hell would Babyface look? A father, okay? How would he look? Arguing with
Anita
Baker. And
Babyface is also a grown-ass man,
How
too.
How would he look?
Yeah, he would look crazy, and he's not going to do that. Because,
no.
Although, let's be clear, that is a testament to Babyface specifically, because we both know some old-ass men that would just get in the shits with
and
him.
I hate people like that.
I don't
that.
Like people like that either.
It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not necessary. I think he handled this perfectly, him and his PR team and whoever organized the messaging.
His statement, it's been very consistent.
Very consistent.
And to that point, that's what he said. He said, you know, basically still nothing but love and respect for Anita, and he's been consistent in that through line.
Even though we know he hates our guts.
Well, how could he not? Because you look a fucking mess, and this is, he had to take you to court. So let's get to it. He had to take your ass to court, Anita. Let's not act like this is a new tension between you and this particular man. 2006. So we're talking about damn near 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Babyface had to file a breach of contract lawsuit against Anita Baker, saying that she owed him $250,000. It was filed in L.A. County Superior Court. It claimed that Anita Baker broke two oral agreements with Kenny Babyface Edmonds because he co-wrote and produced a song on her 2004 album, My Everything. I remember that was about the best her hair looked. Remember that? Okay.
Absolutely.
Like You Used to Do. Yeah, that was a really great aesthetic era for her. Like You Used to Do on her 2004 album. In the lawsuit, Babyface says that Anita Baker refused to pay him his producer's royalties, totaling at least $100,000, and also another $150,000 she owed him for tour dates.
Mm.
There were two that apparently, again, Anita Baker canceled two shows, and there was a payout. You can cancel the show. You can ask me not to perform, but if it's due to your discretion and not my failure, you still owe the money.
Duh. Right.
You know, and so she's, and by the way, going back to the to kind of the age component, like how it looks, when he filed this in 2006, Babyface was 47. So I want to look up how old Babyface is right now, because Babyface is also not a spring chicken.
Yeah.
Babyface is a grown ass man. He is 64. So they're actually the same age. I knew he was up there. So Anita's 65, Babyface is 64.
They're literally peers. Industry peers.
This is your peer, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think Anita Baker is confused around that. And I don't like that either. Like, I'm just somebody like, yo, put some, you Anita Baker, yes, you are.
Don't be trying to little boy me.
Because this is Babyface, bitch. Like, stop it.
Yep.
You need to stop that.
Yep.
This is Boys to Men. This is everything. Stop playing.
Anita, you know you wrong.
Yeah. So
you're wrong, Anita.
Yeah, it's so wrong that who's that? Lil Duval asked Dionne Warwick to get in it.
Yeah.
Talk about Dionne to your reference with her, you know, elder stateswomanship in the culture. Let's get the elder stateswoman to fix it, to fix the beef between two of our favorites. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Honey, Deonce, I'm not in it. Leave, literally, she tweeted, leave me out of it.
Yep, she said, baby, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
She literally said, it ain't got nothing to do with me.
Hey, so, I wouldn't want to have nothing to do with me either. This horrible reputation that is following Anita Baker and has been for many, many years, you know? I just want to hear her sing those beautiful songs. And
in the beautiful way that we know she can sing them. And if it's not that, keep it, Anita.
Keep it. We don't want to know.
Yeah. Speaking of, last point on this that I didn't want to know either is Brian McKnight. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into that, the details. It's not even worth my show. It didn't even make the cut.
Yep.
But I hate that. I hate what he has done to his legacy at his big age. Because now I'll never pay money to see Brian McKnight again. And I was a
Absolutely not.
Brian McKnight, like, he's not even in the same ethos as Babyface or Anita Baker from a global standpoint, from a broader major. But not for nothing, Brian McKnight is
an incredibly talented musician.
Crazy talented musician. Crazy vocalist.
Yeah.
And his vocals still hit, you know, today. But now I can't go see you.
Nope.
Because
we know you ain't shit.
Because you really ain't. And again, people have been saying that. But now you really showed your fucking ass to say some shit like your previous three children, one of which has your name, is not even your legacy.
The erasure of it.
You are erasing your children because you probably weren't shit as a father to them. Thus, the relationship reflects how you showed up as a parent. And now you got this new baby talking about this is my true legacy. Get the fuck out of here, Brian McKnight. I actually hate you now.
Yeah, that's really weird. And it's very cold.
It's disgusting.
To see somebody do their kids like that. You know what I mean?
I can't even play him. I can't even stream his music anymore, honestly. Like, it disgusts me.
Well, you also want to be awake. So there's that.
No lullabies.
There's that. No lullabies, okay?
No lullabies.
That Z-Quill-ass music he made. Don't nobody want to hear that. Okay, put Marvin Gaye on. Put some of that shit on. Let's listen to Usher.
You said you called it Nodos music.
Okay, yeah, okay. That Nodos ass music. We don't want that. Anywho.
Okay, but what we do want is this victory, this win that the culture just got and black voters in America just got from this conservative ass Supreme Court.
Well, who'd have thunk it?
I was going to say, well, gee golly wow.
Right.
Listen, how about that? just this past week, U.S. Supreme Court issued a 5-4 decision, okay, in the landmark redistricting case, Allen v. Milligan. Simply put, this was, I mean, we've all been seeing the headlines all across the country, right, for the several last years. Various states, everything from Alabama. This one happens to be Alabama, but also Louisiana's doing this.
Yeah.
My home state of North Carolina, Virginia. All these states, primarily throughout the South, are trying to continue to gerrymander congressional maps so that here's an example. A state like Alabama that has like 20-ish to 26% black population, significant, almost over a quarter of the state is black, has exactly one black congressperson. One. Same with Louisiana. I think they've even got maybe a touch more black population, but very close. 20 to 26, maybe even 28% black population in Louisiana.
Right, right.
One black congressman.
That don't make any damn sense.
And I know him. Shout out to Troy Carter. But, and that's crazy. Like, that's crazy that is the limitation of congressional representation for states in this country. That are almost a fourth black, and you mean to tell me we got one? Meanwhile, white citizens of that state have 8-9 representatives? Yeah. Absolutely not.
Grossly imbalanced.
Grossly imbalanced and grossly discriminatory.
Absolutely.
And surprisingly, this Supreme Court agreed. So they struck down this discriminatory, anti-black, overly white-centered map that Alabama proposed. They said it's unconstitutional. I'm going to tell you who wrote the majority opinion on the motherfucker. Chief Justice John Roberts, Republican all day, appointed by George W. Bush. And he sure wrote the majority opinion. on this case, striking down this discriminatory map. Now, before we go giving him Nobel Peace Prize right. and Chips Ahoy.
You see, I didn't part my lips.
No, Dustin was like, and what else is going? You gave me a Cynthia Bailey. What mm-hmm. else is going on?
I've been here a long time. Yeah. So I know how these motherfuckers move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yet, here's what's really noteworthy about it. This same motherfucker, John Roberts, Chief Justice, that just wrote this majority opinion that, you know, upholds the constitutionality of racially balanced voting and maps in America.
Yeah.
Just back in 2012, when the Voting Rights Act was gutted. We all remember this because Clarence Thomas, punk ass, I want to say maybe he wrote that majority opinion.
Right.
When America, this same court with most of these same justices on it said, you know, we've come such a long way as Americans and, you know, we don't really need these severe protections of Black Americans' voting rights. And John Roberts said, exactly. So he did a 180 in not even, you know, 10 years, just a little over 10 years and completely landed at the opposite conclusion when it comes to the constitutionality and the legal rightness, really, of Black voting in America. So one has to ask the question, what changed?
There you go.
Well, I got an answer for you.
Okay.
Well, I got two, but I got one that's better than the other. So without knowing anything else, I just, you know, my little legal brain starts mm-hmm. thinking, and I'm like, oh, okay, I see what this is. First of all, Chief Justice John Roberts, he ain't had the best health. That's number one. No, for real.
Okay.
He literally, at like in his early 50s, had a heart attack, had to take some time off the court. So he ain't like the picture of health.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to imagine that he is very concerned around his legacy. Continuing with this conversation with Anita and everybody to me, when you get over 50, it's a legacy conversation for
Absolutely.
Me. Period. Because every day is a gift.
Yeah.
So John Roberts, as he ages, not the best health. You're a white man in America in a very peculiar time to be a white man in America. And I believe that he has some, and this Supreme Court, for the first time in my lifetime, is being dragged beyond belief around ethics violations, lacking of moral integrity, political partisan corruption.
Lack of preparedness.
The Supreme Court is looking raggedy these days. And that's not something that the Supreme Court is used to. Now, the Congress, they used to raggedy reputation. They always raggedy. The president be ghetto as a motherfucker consistently, you know, whoever's in office. But the Supreme Court holds itself in a higher regard. It always has. It's always held itself to be apolitical. It's always held itself, Dustin, to be beyond reproach. And so this kind of cultural moment for a Supreme Court to be having multiple justices, I'm talking to you, Clarence Thomas and others, being accused of taking essentially bribes, you know, taking gifts that are unethical. I don't know what Elena Kagan and some shit she dubbed to.
Yeah.
It just all looks shitty and suspicious and raggedy.
Yep.
So for those reasons, I said, dirty. Well, you know, yeah. And then you white as hell, John Roberts, and you gutted the Voting Rights Act. So this is maybe him saying, let me try to be on the right side of history here. So that was my first conclusion. But then I interviewed the Black attorney who argued this case on behalf of the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Okay.
And his name is Duell Ross. So he's your cousin.
Okay. What's up, bro? D. Ross.
He is another D. Ross. Okay.
Boy, of course he argued this shit.
A D. Ross going to do it right every
time.
Get
it done. Get in there and get in the paint.
So when I interviewed this attorney, D. Ross, shout out to Duell.
Yes.
What he told me, because I asked him pointedly, I said, well, what happened in 10 years to make John Roberts change his mind?
QTNA.
So much so that he done wrote the whole majority opinion defending the constitutionality of Black voting rights in America. Say, what? Come again. What happened? He said, frankly, Ebony, I believe it was the influence of Ketanji Brown Jackson. He said, I believe when she, because, you know, if you've never watched one of these Supreme Court cases be argued or litigated, it's an active bench, meaning that as the lawyers are making their arguments in front of the court and the justices are lined up, you know, just they are asking, they are firing questions back to the lawyers. Well, what about this? Well, what about this case law? Well, what about this dissent? Well, tell me about this. Well, you said this in the argument, but constitutionally, it's you got to be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
So that's what time it is. And so he said when the questioning started, Ketanji Brown Jackson, first black woman to serve on our Supreme Court in its, entire history, she started by framing the constitutionality of black Americans as citizens. I mean, she starts with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. And if I know we hear about the 13th one a lot and, 14th, equal protection. If you're not familiar with the 15th Amendment, that is the amendment that gave black men the right to vote immediately coming out of enslavement. And so she starts with that premise of even the founders, and even if we kind of conservatively interpret these early, statutes, knowing her audience, the court and the country has been clear around the valuation and the constitutionality of black voting. So when you start with that framework, you got to look like a real extra piece of shit to come down any other way. And that is what this attorney said that he believes laid the framework to kind of tie the hands, really, of not just John Roberts, who wrote the opinion. Child, let me tell you who else came down and said black lives matter on this day. Brett Kavanaugh.
Don't tell me BK. Don't tell me BK did.
BK, baby, with his extra white centric anti-qualified
ass,
sexual predator, ass, showed it.
Wow.
And I say that not again to big up Brett Kavanaugh or Justice Roberts, because all they did was what they were supposed to do.
Right.
And I'm looking at the other three crazy, or four, but and especially you, Clarence Thomas, with your dumb ass.
You dry rotted, horrible. Meerkat face, old ass, sour neck, underarm ass man. You and that horrible looking
wife,
horrible looking swashbuckling,
horrible
acting wife. Ugh. Telling all the we'll talk about.
I can't
that
wait
later.
For the documentary on them two when they go on and
what?
And they have
what's her name?
Said.
Jenny,
and she ain't from the block.
No,
just deplorable legacy of the Thurgood Marshall.
Yes,
deplorable, but. So it's not about giving them any kudos for doing what they're supposed to do, but it is about highlighting the mythology that I heard many say, even those that look like us, Dustin, when this black woman was appointed and confirmed on the Supreme Court. A lot of people clapped out loud and smiled and, ooh, yay, and representation, and ooh, look how her daughter looking at her, and that's good for black girls to see. But quiet is kept. A lot of people say she can't make no difference. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say they don't really matter. Because the court is 6-3 conservative, rather, and she just up there for optics. I heard a lot of us say that.
Yep.
So I'm here to tell you.
In your face.
Plain as day.
Yep.
Eat your words, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Eat your words, because this black woman is having impact from year one.
Yep.
In ways in which not having a majority partisan presence makes what she is doing, Dustin, even more incredible.
Even more incredible, even more noteworthy, even more special, even more impactful.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like attorney Duell Ross was saying, like, as he was asking questions and moving through his argument, he was seeing that every time Ketanji Brown Jackson would ask a question and kind of lead the conversation a certain way, it made it harder for the other hostile justices to keep going down their rabbit holes, so it's just levels of this shit. And if you don't understand judicial policy and politics, just shut the fuck up.
Right.
Before you out here undermining the power of this particular black woman.
Mm-hmm. Good for her. I mean, this is just fascinating to watch.
Isn't it?
It speaks to her brilliance. And she will forever be remembered and revered in that way. This is special work.
I'm excited because, I think things that were previously far gone conclusions. And listen, we got a long way to go. So, this is a victory and we should acknowledge it as such.
There's so much more to do.
There's so much coming up on this particular court's docket. But it gives me a little bit of optimism.
Yeah,
which is great. It gives me a little bit of optimism in a time where it's hard to have any. that some preservation of the constitutional rights of Black Americans and other marginalized Americans, let's be clear, might live another day. They just might. I don't know that they will, but they just might.
Yeah.
And then for those of you keeping score about this Biden administration and what they've done, what have you done for me lately for Black America, which is a valid question, of course, one could argue this is another win for the Biden administration.
Absolutely. And it's not the only one.
Of course not. But, you know, we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, that's a whole other day. Right. We'll be here for four more hours.
Right. But again, and I'm the first to scrutinize any administration. Mm-hmm. Including the Democratic ones.
Especially the Democratic ones.
Yeah, especially. You know why? Because they disproportionately, they only proportionately benefit from our presence at the voting box.
Yep.
So they should get the most of our scrutiny. And yet, for all that shit y'all's talking about and everything he does is performative and ain't nobody asked for Juneteenth. Well, first of all, tell that to Sheila Jackson Lee. Go run tell that to Miss Opal Lee.
This is how you know people don't know their history.
Right.
That's how you
know. Or their present.
Mm-hmm. Or their damn present.
Yeah, because Congresswoman Jackson Lee was just talking about it a couple years ago, right before it happened. She was there at that pen signing for a reason. You better fucking believe. Anyway, but connecting the dots here to this Supreme Court decision and Biden, well, he has to get credit for it. The administration has to get credit for it because for all that talk, all that lip, we sure ain't never had a Black woman up here before. Obama.
And could have.
Honey, you had three nominations. Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and, because people don't like when you talk about Obama.
No, but that's my gripe. He should have stacked that damn court.
Absolutely.
Like his life depended on it.
Because his legacy did.
Thank you.
His legacy did. Let me go on and move on. See, you trying to get me in trouble, Dustin. Let's go on and talk about
okay.
Listen, because you know. Whew. Let's talk about Marlon Wayans. Is he the youngest Wayans?
No. Sean is younger than Marlon.
Oh, is he? Okay. I always had a crush on Marlon. Everybody else liked Sean, but I always liked Marlon. Like that skinny, kind of nerdy vibe.
Yeah, I see it. When I saw it was when he was filming the Respect movie with Jennifer Hudson. Ooh. There were some scenes of them off camera just bonding as a cast.
Okay.
And the way he was like responding and engaging with her, I actually wondered if they were like a thing for a minute because I saw the charisma and the chemistry.
I just got jealous when you said that.
Yeah. wait till I send you the video. Right. You're going to be like, okay.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I might have to. Yeah. Hey, Marlon.
I think you'll like that. I should have sent you this a long time ago. Yeah.
But I saw him recently stand up at Gotham Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. Great show. Funny.
He's fucking hilarious.
And the tickets were reasonable, too. Thank you, Marlon.
Right.
unlike some others. But, I was going to say, when you brought up Aretha, his performance also in that film is brilliant.
Like, for sure.
He's actually somebody like that I can see getting to like Oscar nominated role, because he also was briefly in Air, the new film. Well, I guess it's somewhat still new. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Viola Davis stars as Michael Jordan's mother. About the brilliance. If you haven't seen that, go watch it. Not just for the story, but for the gems.
Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis's character, Miss Dolores Jordan, I believe is Jordan's mother's name. She's still with us, actually. Runs a masterclass in negotiation in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Because previous to Michael Jordan, no athlete in any sport was able to participate in the revenue split of their shoe or product. It was unheard of. It was laughed out of the room. And when they told her that, because first of all, Michael Jordan didn't even want to sign no fucking Nike deal because wasn't nobody wearing no Nikes.
Yep.
They were a white boy running shoe at the time. I think the only person they had was maybe what's Caitlyn's name before Caitlyn?
Bruce
Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
So she convinces her son, "We're gonna take this risk because I have a feeling." And when your mama say, "I have a feeling," you gotta listen.
You gotta listen to that.
Lean into that. She said, "I got a feeling we're gonna take a risk on this unlikely dark horse. However, we have a requirement, and it is that Michael is so cute." She says, "Michael must participate in the profits." And they said, "Well, Miss Jordan, we love Michael. We think he's the next, big thing. But, we can't do that. We don't do that. That's never been done."
"You're going to do it today."
She said, "If you believe in my son the way that you say you believe in my son, you have to honor that you've never done this before, but you've never had a talent like Michael before. Mm-hmm. And they show coughed up that motherfucking bag. And yep. That's why Michael Jordan has $2 billion today.
Today. Shout out to Ms. Dolores.
Listen, shout out to Ms. Dolores. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Marlon Wayans has a brief role in that film. And the few minutes he's on camera, dynamic, powerful. Yeah. So I really see him going like, mm-hmm. you know, he's one of those, you know, I know we should and we do talk about Jamie Foxx as like this, like, you know, entertainment, you know, I don't know, like singer, comedian, like right, musician, right. all of that. And very few people in that category. But watch Marlon Wayans.
I see the potential for sure.
We need to watch Marlon Wayans.
Yep. And that, I wish that success for him.
Yeah, that's a special. When he's on screen, especially in, he's great in the comedic roles. We know that. But when he does the serious, the drama pieces, that's something special there.
Whole family. And then we'll get back to the story. But his sister, Kim Wayans, uh-huh. too. She did a dramatic role in that movie Pariah.
Yes.
She was good.
Yes.
It's a special actor who can walk that line of being funny, as well as being a great dramatic talent.
Very intense.
So
yeah, I'm excited to see what's next for him in terms of the film genre.
For sure.
Now, back to how this was a little less polished.
Okay. Okay.
What we have seen of him in this recent, you know, brouhaha with United Air. Now, I want to start by saying I'm on his side. Mm-hmm. Who's that? Allstate?
Yeah. On your nationwide.
Nationwide
is on your side. You in good hands with Allstate.
Okay, well, I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
But holler at a girl nationwide if you want to do something.
That's anyway, right. Okay. Nationwide. Get on our side.
Right. Anyway, Marlon Wayans, he is demanding compensation after he was both removed from a United Airlines flight. And like you said, first mistake was you was flying United. Mm-hmm. And then also, he was not arrested. But he was cited with disturbing the peace. Depending on the jurisdiction, this tends to be a misdemeanor, very low-level offense. I can't imagine it's going to stick. I imagine he sends a – I don't even know if he's going to have to show up for court. Maybe, depending on, you know, how they do things. I think he was at, Denver Airport. I know I've seen clients when I was doing this kind of work, Dustin, that I could go in their place because it's such a mm-hmm. low-level misdemeanor. And they will throw this out. This mm-hmm. was he'll never have a consequence around this. But not cool. So according to Marlon Wayans, he gets on Insta and talks about how he was trying to get on his flight, but he was told that he had too many bags. Mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, like we've all done, tried to stuff the third bag into the second bag. Then they still had a problem with it because they're like, now the bag is too big, too large. At that point, Marlon Wayans gets spicy and he says, see, well, you read it.
Here we go. At this point, Marlon Wayans told him, see, now you're just fucking with me, and proceeded to grab his ticket off the counter and got on the plane. Give me that pass, man. I walked on that damn plane. You can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. And then he ended up being escorted off the damn plane.
And then they got his ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then they escorted him right on off that plane. And he missed shows because of it. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be the basis of his lawsuit. Now, he was able to... a statement from United says that Marlon Wayans pushed past a United employee at the jet bridge. I can see it based off of your interpretive reading. However, Wayans said that he never touched the employee. And so even that, right? Pushed past, brushed mm-hmm. past. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's crazy enough to put his hands on nobody. I don't believe that.
It just sounded like whoever wrote the report was mad at him.
Yeah.
That's all. They was feeling in their feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why I think they was feeling away too. He was eventually able to get a seat on an American Airlines flight, but he did miss the show that he was supposed to play in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. All of it's on his Instagram account. He's big mad. I would be too. And he, I expect, probably will file some type of action against United to recoup the lost funds from his show. A couple things here. Like I said, I saw this and I've been there, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. I'm pretty sure you've been there. And while I don't have the profile or celebrity of a Marlon Wayans, I think we're talking about power. Remember I got into it with the Amtrak lady?
Yeah, I do.
You know, like this bitch asked me if I could read, mm-hmm. you know, remember? I think there is something that happens when you've got people that are working very respectful, important jobs in these transportation sectors, and they run up against somebody who has some level of public profile, and now there's this power thing, right? This power play happening. And the requirement oftentimes is for those of us in the perceived power, or not even perceived, right, in the actual power position, right, to just comply, to just shut the fuck up and do what I told you to do. Because in this dynamic, I don't give a fuck who you are on stage, or in your podcast studio, or on the TV, or with your little Apple and shit, or whoever you think you are, bitch. Right now, on this train, you ain't shit.
Cops have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Cops, anyone in positions of authority.
Authority. It's an authority thing.
Yeah.
And the reality is, especially in a post 9/11 era, when you're dealing especially with an airport, period, it could be TSA, it could be the ticket counter.
Everybody know you don't fuck around in the
airport. You just can't do it because they'll literally lock your ass up and you will, next thing you know, you got a whole federal charge.
And you can't fly.
All of that. You on the no-fly list like Saddam Hussein was.
Yep.
Literally.
Think about that.
Think about it.
Just being the company you're in.
Yeah, just because you got spicy or they got, let's say they got spicy with you first. I believe it. They oftentimes will. They are actually oftentimes, Dustin, trying to provoke you.
Absolutely. They did it to me a couple weeks ago.
Tell me about it.
I was flying American.
Problem number one.
They rerouted my travel. They canceled my flight because they didn't have crew.
Okay.
And then they had to reroute everybody's flight that was on that plane. It was a packed full flight out of Atlanta.
Oh, they ended up
trying to reroute me through Charlotte. I had a direct flight anyway. Mm-hmm. They were going to send me through Charlotte, then send me to New Jersey.
Oh.
I was just at my wit's end. This beautiful black woman helped me, and she was the one who told me what the real reason for the flights being canceled was.
Right, because they never wanted to
tell
you
that. They didn't have crew support.
Right.
And it was just a nightmare, but all of the other airline personnel that I engaged with that day was rude, were curt, nasty in speech, very casual in the way that they're were even approaching finding a solution for all.
Dismissive.
Very dismissive.
Yeah.
In the Charlotte airport where I was.
That's why Sherry worked at US Air.
Which I didn't even want to go to in the first place.
With them white fucking rocking chairs.
Those white fucking rocking chairs.
That's all they care about.
Over.
That's all they care about at their Charlotte airport.
You know what else they care about? You have to have a driver's license to buy alcohol.
I didn't know that till you just told me that.
So they don't accept
passports,
state IDs. You
clear.
Have to have a.
You can you show up your clear.
No, I was. Do you want a fingerprint? What do you want from me
you
to
want
get
tooth?
A drink that I need today?
Right, okay? Because it's been a fucked up.
So
day.
They be on these airlines, and a lot of times when you hear stories about celebrities having some sort of bad experience with these personnel, with the personnel rather, it's nine times out of. Well, I ain't gonna say nine. Seven times out of ten. It's not the it's
the
not their fault, right?
I love the integrity. Yeah, he said,
I ain't gonna say
sometimes,
nah.
Right?
Some of these motherfuckers, you know,
be
but
doing
a lot. These people make it difficult for you as a traveler.
They do.
Difficult. I'm not looking forward to that in the next few minutes when I gotta go.
Yeah, and then I'm right behind you on the next thing smoking. But at least we on the right airline,
right? Hello,
Delta. That's the only time you'll see me big up Delta with this AKA your shirt like that because it's called Delta Air, baby. Yeah, baby. All right, y'all. That's it. We gonna stop cutting the fool and go and take our black asses to Tulsa and celebrate Juneteenth with our people. We'll see you again next week.
Yes, we
will.
Be
back in session. In the meantime, y'all, please stay safe. Black people, put your sunscreen on.
Please.
Y'all know we be dying the most from skin cancer because we late to the game to find out we got it. Put your damn sunscreen on. What are we doing, 30 or 50?
70. Get the kids. Get the babies one for 70 FPF. Hell.
That part.
Get as
so
many.
You don't have to reapply as much.
That's right.
Yeah, we like to save over
and
here.
And use that.
Please do. And what else you want the people to do, Dustin?
Read your terms and conditions.
Thoroughly.
Yep.
Absolutely. Traveling mercies.
That's it. Thank you.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.